from raising a family to raising almonds. There are many moments in life when having a partner makes everything easier. At Wilbur Ellis, we believe almond bloom is one of those moments. We know a strong bloom is what sets you up for a successful year. That's why when you work with us, you don't just get one partner. You get access to a team of industry-leading experts who bring you real-time answers that can boost your yield and your bottom line. We've also got innovative adjuvants like Embracier that elevate the performance and effectiveness of fungicides, insecticides, and miticides by making sure you get even coverage throughout your orchard. So don't face almond bloom without a partner. Plan for a more successful harvest by teaming up with Wilbur Ellis, because you're never alone when you have the power of we. Contact your local Wilbur Ellis representative today to see what the power of we can do for you.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
It's the end of the day. We call it between 4 and 7 p.m. This is when kids are getting out of school. This is when husbands and wives are getting home from work. This is when we're thinking about making dinner. There's so much to be done.
Barb Rosberg on Focus on the Family Minute.
And so we call this the Valley of the Shadow of Death for every woman. And for that woman, we have got a list. And it's this list that we have made that has probably got 200 items on it that we want to do by the end of the day. And it's everything from laundry to washing the dog to making sure there's food, as I said earlier. Your husband, that gorgeous man that you're married to, walks in the back door and he says, "Baby, your handsome dog is home." And then he gives you a kiss. The kind of kiss that you're going, "Oh no." He's number 201 on my list.
More at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invites you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Rich London, the mattress specialist. Tell me what shoppers will find at your store.
Well, I've got regular flat beds from twin size to king size. And then, of course, I've got adjustable beds where the bases go up and down so it's easier to get out of bed. You don't have to worry about acid reflux or if you have snoring problems or if you have bad circulation in your legs. All those things are benefits that the adjustable bases can give you.
The mattress specialist, 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. For thousands of people throughout the world, the game of chess is a very serious business. The Fischer-Spassky World Championship Tournament 1972 focused international attention on the profundity of chess. There were 21 games in that tournament, and it took weeks to play. Now, imagine one game, a single game of chess, lasting 2 years. Well, there was such a game. Two chess teams competed by correspondence, by mail. It began in 1883. It lasted until 1885. A single chess game between two chess teams conducted by mail. I'm going to synopsize this. but I must include enough detail for aficionados. For the purpose of simplification, I'll refer to the two teams as their moves would be designated in any official chess record, white and black. White, moving first, advanced the king pawn two squares. Pawn to king four, that's a conservative opening move. It allows for a variety of counter moves. Black's response was to advance the queen bishop pawn two squares. Pawn to queen bishop four. Already we see the Sicilian defense in its embryonic stage. White moves knight to queen bishop three. Black answers pawn to king three. It's evident already to any chess player of experience that both teams know what they're doing. Both teams are playing for blood. Quickly, all vital central squares have fallen under attack. In the seventh move, Black's bishop simultaneously nabs a white knight and places the white king in check. White counters for the only remaining knight, captures the attacking bishop. The next moves are aggressive, violent in chess terms. By the end of the 12th move, Black is clustered in its kingside quadrant, and then fireworks begin. A white bishop takes a black knight, a black pawn takes a white bishop. White's 15th move was one of those during which the opponent's heart stops beating even when the opponent sees it coming. A lengthy diagonal sweep of the queen, the most powerful piece on the chessboard, but Black is lying in wait. Black's 21st move, rook to knight 5, trapped the hapless white queen behind enemy lines. Move 22 brought both black rooks to the same file, a deadly combination of force. And when at last by the 26th move, white realized that the queen was lost. White resigned. The game was over. The abbreviated account which you have just heard just barely captures the drama of what was a two-year ordeal for two chess teams. Often there were weeks between moves, weeks during which the pressure endured by both teams must have been unbearable, literally unbearable. It was a matter of record that the greatest chess players of the past were plagued by emotional instability. I don't know whether it's a necessary byproduct of the required genius or merely a reaction to the nerve-shattering tournaments. It's a kind of a chicken and egg question. But by the way, the white team in that correspondence game of 1883 to 1885, the white team, advantaged, remember, by the first move, still lost. That was Cambridge University. That was the team from Cambridge University. The black team, the winner of that most remarkable two-year chess game by mail, was England's Bethlehem Royal Hospital, otherwise known as Bedlam Insane Asylum. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon. This is Eric Gorham. Again, I'm filling in for Karen Bailey today. She's out and should be back next Wednesday and Thursday. So our next guest, we have Kelly Reeves. And I think most of you've been on here a few times. I think people know who you are. You're kind of out there. You have a good social media presence and you do a lot of things that kind of put you out there. But but we're here today really because of your credentials, if you want to kind of fill people in.
So, well, I guess we're talking about firearms.
Well, I was just going to hit your credentials first, just so people know. If they didn't know what you do for a living, they probably should.
So I'm a NRA certified firearms instructor, DOJ certified FSC, which is the Firearm Safety Certificate Program instructor. Let's see what else. I'm a range safety officer, a USCCA certified concealed carry and home defense instructor. I'm a cybersecurity expert and I own a women's self-defense company.
There we go. So we will be talking about mental health and gun responsibility. Yeah,
that's a big deal.
And it is. And I think it's something you don't hear about. You hear about it when something happens. And it goes, well, why did this happen? You know, there was a mental illness and somebody did something crazy, but it goes beyond. I mean, I think there's all facets of life where mental health, it could just be something personal in your life or it could be a crisis. And I think we can hit quite a few things today.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I mean, I'm going to leave some of this to you. I'm going to ask some dumb questions just to keep you going. But I think, and I probably have a lot of dumb questions, but I
no
guess
dumb
in
questions,
this,
just
yeah,
dumb
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So we kind of have an outline, but I'll kind of let you go a little bit and I might stop you here and there and see what and break things down.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you asked me to be on the show and said, oh, let's talk about firearms and pick a topic. And as you know, and a lot of people now know, my mom recently passed away, which has been a very difficult thing for me to process just because it was very sudden. And mm-hmm. You know, we got the call from police in Mississippi that they found her in her home. And, you know, it was really a traumatic experience. And so I decided to take a step back for a little bit from firearms instruction just so I can heal and grieve. And, you know, working with a grief therapist has been super helpful. And so when you asked, I thought, you know, this is a very important topic because it's not just that mental health and mental illness, which are two separate topics, but it is one state of mind when they consider going into firearms, using a firearm. And then, of course, what we teach in CCW in self-defense is the aftermath of a shooting and if you're ever involved in a shooting and what that takes. So it is a really important topic, especially when it comes to gun control, because the second there's a mass shooting, gun control advocates are like, oh, get rid of all guns. And then we're saying, well, no, it's a mental illness and mental health issue, which they say, no, it's not. Mentally ill people don't commit crimes. I'm like, okay, you have to have something wrong with you,
right?
Mentally to commit a crime, to go shoot up a school, or even if you want to like violently attack somebody, there's something not right in your head to do that. So
that
always just drives me nuts how they try to separate the mental health and mental illness issue from gun control when I do believe the two are correlated.
No, for sure. And I think the history of our country shows that we've gone too far at times with mental illness. And then we're at a point where we don't go far enough at all. And in my opinion, you see what happens. And I've dealt with this not in a gun aspect, but I do remember removing a lot of weapons from a house because of the person that was in it. It wasn't my house. But I thought she might hurt herself, and we removed knives and anything that she could hurt other people with. And basically had the sheriffs out there over and over again. And they're like, as long as she answers the questions right, she's fine.
Which is scary, yeah. Because and there's the difference between the sociopath and the psychopath. And one typically can play it off like they're completely normal, they're completely functional, but there's a part of their brain that just doesn't work on a social level, a socially acceptable moral ethical level that we do, but they can still put themselves pass themselves off as being normal everyday citizens that have a job and can communicate, but there's something missing. Yep. A chip.
No, for sure. And to make it clear, I'm not even complaining about law enforcement here. I remember talking to the sheriff and he goes, they know how to answer the questions, but our hands are tied through legislation.
Yeah. And it's tough because if they're answering the questions correctly and they can be very manipulative, then unless they actually do something, unfortunately, like you said, law enforcement's hands tied. There's only so much they can do, as then they could be facing a lawsuit or something major. And so, unfortunately, because of the laws in this country, a lot of things are not enforceable.
So what do you see? I mean, I know you do a lot of research on this and you just have a lot of practical experience, but what do you think the relationship is between mental health and guns at this point and firearm safety?
Well, I it's a very important relationship because, you know, like I said, I took a step back so I could personally heal. When I teach, I want to be very present with my students. I want to make sure that I'm 110% mentally there and not, you know, one, feeling sad and dealing with a whole huge loss, but also thinking like, oh, God, I still got to get the death certificate and do all this stuff.
Right.
Like, there's a lot that goes on when you deal with certain trauma, whether it's a significant loss or you've been through something. So, and it's not just firearms. I think if it's anything significant in your life where they say don't make big decisions when you're at that emotional level. And, you know, definitely like for me as an instructor, I want to be there for my students. And I don't feel like right at this very second that I could be that instructor that I need to be.
Yeah.
And it'll get there very soon. I mean, it's already starting to feel a lot better and accept the loss and all that happened. But I do think that it is a complex relationship, And people really have to be self-aware. You have to be aware of your mental state, where you are. And there's like I said, there's a difference between mental health and mental illness.
Right.
You know, stress is a mental health situation, not illness. Depression is an illness. So right. There's two different things. So, I mean, and I know, you know, at the end of a long, stressful day, you may want to go to the range and just do some recoil therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Blow
yeah.
off some steam.
I'm gonna do that a few
so,
times.
But you do have to just be super mindful of where you are. And when it comes to not just handling guns and any lethal weapon, but really anything big in your life.
Yeah. And I think it's recognizing what's going on and then addressing what you need to do, right?
Yeah. And being safe. You know, like right. for me, like my guns are in my safe. I'm not going to the range right now. I'm not teaching right now. But that's a decision I knew was the best to make, not for just me, but for my students. And you know, and it just takes a certain level of awareness to know where you're at when it comes to something as significant as firearms and firearms handling.
No, right. I mean, for sure. And I guess it's, is there anything really out there other than maybe instructors or someone like yourself, someone you could talk to just to recognize these kind of things or have somebody to bounce something off of? Or, you know, it's a tricky subject because a lot of people don't want to go, you know, talk to law enforcement yeah. about this yeah. in fear that they might get their weapons taken
yeah,
away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and it was a big thing for me to feel like to admit it because I don't want people to go, oh, you know, yes, she can't teach now because of this. But, you know, if you are feeling, and again, it takes some acknowledgement and self-awareness, but, you know, reach out to, you know, a trusted friend. If you can find a therapist that you can say, hey, I'm kind of feeling this way and whatever. And there's a whole list. Like if you go online, there's tons and tons of resources. But if you're not feeling 100%, you know, like they say in the mental health community, it's okay to not be okay.
Right.
And the thing is we all go through life with challenges. No one is challenge free where it doesn't affect their mental health in some way, whether it's, you know, a personal loss, a financial loss, health, something. And it's really is okay to say, hey, I'm not really feeling great. And I think that right. for me, it's the grief of losing my mom is I really want to get help and process this.
Right. And I think there's a stigma. You know, people don't like to go have these conversations because it doesn't, you know, it's kind of, we live in this, like, look at me, society.
Oh, she's
look
crazy.
How,
yeah.
Look how great I am. But when yeah. things go wrong, a lot of people yeah. kind of bottle it up, keep it to themselves. Because of that stigma. So reaching out to, you know, a confidant, a friend, even if you have to go to a specialist, I mean, yeah. it's worth doing.
Well, and the thing is, the truth is like you just said, everyone puts this whole air of, oh, I'm okay. If I'm, that's BS. Everybody's going through something in life.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think it's social media. It's like, yeah. look how great I am.
Yeah. You know? Which, you know, great. That's fine if you want to present that you're having this perfect life. But we all know behind the scenes, and it really, everybody deals with things differently. How someone would deal with the passing of a parent, maybe different than how I am. I mean, you know, everyone grieves differently. Everybody handles stress differently. So, but yeah, I mean, for everyone to go, oh, look at my beautiful, rosy life, just because they're trying right. to build that facade, it is BS. And the more you know it, is like, okay, I don't have to feel so insecure about my own problems.
Right. And I think when we were talking about this originally, I told you, well, I had somewhat of a similar experience in the fact that when my first wife died, I wanted the guns out of my house because I didn't have a safe. I had a locker, but you break the window, you're in there. And I had two kids that had just lost their mom. I didn't feel they were suicidal or anything, but I just wanted them gone. But then there's laws that get involved.
Yeah.
You know,
especially when there's children involved.
Yeah. And it's, you know, even removing those from your house, you can be breaking a law, putting them in somebody else's custody, et cetera, if you yeah. don't do that properly. So it's a tricky, there's a lot of little minefields out yeah. there, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you might feel like it's hard to do the right thing. So, you know, being able to reach out to just someone to talk, I think, and work your way through these things could be definitely beneficial mentally. And just, you yeah. know, if you can talk to somebody with some firearms experience, they might help you guide.
Yeah, it's either that or, you know, it depends upon where you come from. Like you can come from a clinical perspective of speaking with a clinical like therapist or a faith perspective and going to a pastor or someone in your church.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or again, a trusted friend just to say, hey, I'm, and there's tons of resources online. That's one of the beauties of online where you have a lot of resources where you can tap into and reach out to people in groups. And you can also, you know, obviously stay anonymous if you want to. So I just, the thing is for people to never feel alone. And that was a big, well, you know, I decided to like put the email out and put it out on my Facebook because I, you know, grief can be, it's a very personal thing. Mm-hmm. So it can also feel kind of lonely, especially when like, so I was the first one to walk into my mom's house and see it in disarray and see the blood all over the floor. And I was like, okay, this is not something that is normal that people should do. So I knew immediately I'm going to need some help with this. So I, you know, to, when we were cleaning out our house and doing everything, I kind of compartmentalized, didn't get really emotional. And it wasn't until I got back to Paso where it just all started hitting me. And I was like, okay, I think I really need to.
Right. I think the other side of that was somebody with your experience and your credentials, when you put that out there, you're actually advocating too. You're telling people it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you look at somebody you respect in that position and go, well, she's doing it. And, you know, and down the line, if they have that problem, they can go in, you know, and maybe even, you know, put yourself in a position where they might want to reach out to you.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it if they did, if they were like, I don't know anyone to reach out to but you, because I listened to you or got your email or whatever, then yeah. And I have resources. And of course, you know, with CCW, because when SB2 passed, the mental health component became a big part of the class by law. And it was really more the aftermath of a shooting and how to deal with that. But there is also the component of mental health and gun ownership.
I think we got a little bit of time, so we'll try to take a quick call. Somebody's been patiently waiting here. Good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off. What do you have to add to the conversation today?
Well, I just wanted to say to your guest, I'm sorry about her loss. I did happen to miss, I heard just a moment ago, unfortunately, blood. Was your mother a victim of a crime? I didn't quite hear originally.
No, thankfully she wasn't. It wasn't foul play, but just, and we don't know exactly what happened. We're actually still waiting for the final medical examiner's report. But yeah, no, it wasn't a crime, thankfully.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Kelly Reeves. Continue this conversation.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending higher with the S&P 500 notching a new record high on renewed optimism about artificial intelligence. This after chipmaker Micron Technology delivered better than expected financial results, along with an upbeat forecast amid strong demand for its chips at data centers due to AI. Shares of Micron rose 14%. Tech was the best performing sector while energy lagged as oil prices fell, while gold hit an all-time high and Chinese stocks rallied after Beijing announced more measures to support the country's weakening economy. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Amgen, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Chevron, Merck, and United Health Group. The Dow rising 260 points, the NASDAQ up 108, S&P 500 up 23 for its 42nd record close of the year. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Sound Off. Again, I'm Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Veeley today. She's out, but she will be back next week. And we'll see what she's been up to, what articles, what she's been finding around the county. So we're back. We're back with Kelly Reeves. We're talking about gun safety and how it kind of goes in with mental health and mental well-being. Which is kind of a big subject. I have a feeling we might just kind of scratch at it a little bit today because I think there's a lot to be said. Maybe we'll grab one quick call here. Good afternoon. Maybe we won't.
Yeah.
Call back if you like. So, yeah, it kind of gets into your responsibilities because I guess, if you I'm taking this from a position that you probably already own firearms. And either keeping them safe from someone that may be in your house or, life has its ups and downs where, things can, cause, it could be a divorce, it could be a death. I know people, unfortunately, that took their lives due to financial reasons. Mm-hmm. I remember 2009, I knew so many people that killed themselves.
Yeah.
And most of it was a gun. It was right. A gun to the head or a gun to the heart. And it was really unfortunate. And it's one of those things you just wish, man, I wish you would have reached out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I have friends that have also committed suicide in different ways. I wish I knew because it's like last time I saw them, they seemed fine. And that's the thing is, and kind of like what we were saying earlier with that, sociopathic and psychopathic kind of mentality where they can play it off that they're great.
And, right.
But again, that goes back to the stigma of people who are maybe really suffering from depression, who they don't want to reach out and get help because they're like, well, I don't want to seem like I'm the crazy one, or I don't want to get judged, or, or whatever. I don't want to get pigeonholed or lose my job or whatever. And so people just don't say anything. And then unfortunately, then it gets to the point where they take drastic measures where if they would have said something, then it possibly could have been prevented.
Right. And I think a lot of this may start when you as an adult anyway. I know I had a lot of guns before I was an adult that got passed through the generations or what. I mean, my first few guns were, I think my first gun was a third generation gun and my second was a fourth generation gun. So it was passed down long before that. But as an adult, I think it's, how do I secure these things? When I was a child, it was my dad's responsibility until I left the house and said, give me my guns back.
Yeah.
know, but I know there's a lot of laws in California, etc. But in your expertise, what would you think just the primary responsibility of a gun ownership is, keeping them safe and not easily accessible?
Yeah, well, especially if there's children in the home, you want to, make sure you have proper, safe and very secure storage. But on the flip side of that, I'm a very big proponent of if you own a gun, teach your child how to use it. Mm-hmm. I grew up with parents in law enforcement. My mom was Atlanta PD and in law enforcement for 20 years. And my sisters and I knew how to use those guns, even from when we were little. We knew how to pick it up. We knew how, but we knew what not to do, too. So when you see these YouTube videos of these parents really working with their kids and the guns and these kids, they're so proficient. I'm like, damn, you're better.
Right.
They're really good. But these kids know, they learn how to respect the guns. They know how to respect the storage and not touching it. And I think that's a big deal because people are so against parents teaching children how to use a gun, but on the flip side, when you do, they learn to respect it. You take the mystery away.
Right.
You know, they know how to handle it, but that doesn't negate the need for proper storage and good storage, because just because you teach your kid how to be an expert marksman and firearm handler doesn't mean their friends that are coming over are. So you ultimately, as a parent, have a big responsibility for safety, making sure the guns are inaccessible, especially when you're right. not around.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, I mean, it goes back to what I was telling you originally, like when my first wife died, it was like, how do I secure? Because I didn't have a safe at the time. I literally had a lock. They were locked, but yeah, you could break the glass and you're in there. And it's really that simple, you know, and it didn't occur to me until she died going, man, you know, my kids aren't losing it. But if they did,
right.
this can't be accessible, you know. Right. And the first thing I did was remove the ammunition.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know, but yeah, you know, safety and security, it's interesting. I think a lot of people don't think about that when they're first purchasing until, you know, they go, oh, do you want a lock or do you have a safe or blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And I know things have changed. I haven't bought anything recently, so I'm sure things, it used to be you had to have a lock or a safe.
Well, I keep mine. I mean, I don't have any children. I don't have any children coming to the home, but still right. all my guns are in safes, in right. my safe. So just because, and it's only adults that come over, and I doubt they're going to go, oh, well, let's go digging around, but you never know. But, and especially,
I'm sure,
like,
Kelly has some good stuff in here.
I wonder where all the ammo is. So, or if you just have people in the home, like if I have, you know, a handy person in the home or my dog sitter, like I just don't want anything that could be accessible, because at the end of the day, if anything happens and that's your gun with the serial number that's attached to you, it's on you.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I guess, you know, when you're purchasing guns now, there's with the DOJ, the 10-day waiting.
10-day waiting.
Which is just, I mean, the test is already done. They're just making you cool off, I guess, if there's a reason.
There's...
But, I mean, are they doing any mental background check? I mean, are they looking into whether you've been seen before, or when they do that type of stuff, is the state taking precautions?
Yeah, I mean, it is a question that is asked, like, have you ever been, you know, have you ever been treated for mental, which is, you know, have you ever been treated for mental illness, which is a tricky question. Because, like, okay, I could say, yes, I have, because yeah. I have a therapist that I'm doing with grief therapy. Does that make me someone that shouldn't own a gun? No, absolutely not. But they do have some more in-depth questions, like, have you ever been charged with a crime that is related to mental health disorder? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been institutionalized? So those are questions that do come up, which I think in the firearm safety certificate and sometimes in interviews, and a lot of times, especially, it's so jurisdictional here in the state. So it's the gun shop could ask the questions, the police could ask the questions, because you just never know, like, right. whatever the policy is. Some counties are a lot more lenient than others. Obviously, if you're in LA or San Francisco in a more liberal area, they're probably going to ask more intense questions. So
should we try it again? Maybe
sure,
we can
yeah.
get to them before they hang up.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Off.
Good afternoon. I had a question for your guest. I sporadically carry a concealed firearm that I'm licensed to carry as a retired peace officer. My question, though, is I've never purchased firearm insurance or liability insurance, and I was wondering what insurance does your guest suggest, or any information on possibly protecting yourself that way in case you are involved in a unfortunately, if you are involved in a firearm shooting.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. I have USCCA insurance, and I know there are others out there, but the one that I use, and I know, like, a lot of law enforcement and other instructors use, is USCCA. They have different levels of membership, but one, it covers you up front with legal fees, which is good, because some insurances will just reimburse you, so you could be facing $30,000-$50,000 up front waiting to get it reimbursed. I do know the USCCA, so when you join, they really do train you on how to handle the situation. So God forbid you're in a self-defense shooting situation, then they teach you, like, well, how do you call 911? What do you say? This is how we get you an attorney. This is how we help get you set up legally. And you can, when you join, you can see all these horror stories and case studies of people who didn't have insurance, and they, it was obvious self-defense, but they got charged with manslaughter and they were facing years and years in prison. So I definitely recommend, I recommend USCCA, but there are others out there. So do your research and see what fits best for you and your budget. And like I said, I know with them, they have three different tiers of membership. So, but I do recommend having something, because even if you get off on, you know, self-defense charges, you're 99.999% going to have a civil charge against you, because there's going to be somebody coming out of the woodwork.
Insurance normally will help you with the civil as well as the criminal.
Yep. Yep, okay, they will help with both.
Well, thank you for the information.
You're welcome. Yeah, we say in CCW that the criminal will keep you out of jail. The civil, you know, keeps you from being completely broke. Something
right,
like that.
Right.
So, yeah, because okay, you will, like, because there will be someone that will come out of the woodwork with pictures of, oh, this was my baby at 8 years old, and trying to get everything that you can give them. So definitely the civil side is also very important. So I recommend you having that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
So I guess this goes into, you know, kind of how do you see, I know there's different organizations that kind of advocate for different things, but how do you see the community kind of getting involved in this and gun owners getting involved outside of, say, you know, you have the, what is it, California Pistol.
Yeah, the CRPA.
CRPA, you have the NRA, you have these different groups that there's memberships to, but do you see a lot of outreach to the general public, or what do you see in that when it comes to this?
You know, I wish, I would like to see more. And I would like to see the, you know, gun clubs get involved too, more on this, because like I said, there's such a stigma involved, especially when it comes to firearms, because it's almost like, oh, it's a big no-no to have a gun and maybe a mental health concern. So I think the more that we can have the conversation about it and know the limits, it's like, okay, some people definitely should not 100% have a gun.
Right.
Just like definitely should not ever have a child or a dog. So,
right. Yeah.
So, you know, there are some people that should not have a gun, because, you know, and I see it all the time, some very irresponsible people. And I just say, you know, you shouldn't have a gun, and you should explore other self-defense options. It's not a toy. It's not, you know, yes, there are gun sports and you can be a hobbyist, but it's not something like, oh, we're just going out on my property and shooting guns. I'm like, no, that's just dumb, you know? So,
right.
So, you know, it's just, so I do think that if we can remove the stigma to the point where people who maybe are dealing with a challenging thing in life can still have an outlet through, you know, their gun club or with the CRPA, because that's the thing, like people associate guns and mental health as bad things.
Well, yeah. And then, yeah, if you're on the, you know, you could be having some kind of crisis in your life, and then you're afraid to reach out because you might lose your weapons or whatnot.
Or your CCW permit, or, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So I think there is definitely on every side, because then you look at the other side of things, people that want to just come in. And I think we live in a society, especially in California, where you have people that want to stand up for their rights, or we have people that want to take those rights away.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot in between, so it kind of leaves this big cliff. And I mean, the in between is almost the people that just don't care,
right?
You know? So yeah, we don't. There's not. We have people advocating on both sides, but then it leaves this void, I think, about what we're talking about, where you could, you know, you lose a spouse, you lose your mother in some way, or whatever it is, and you need that outlet. And then you have to think about it, like, where am I going to reach out, or how can this affect me? And that's the least of what you want to think about when something's going on.
Yeah. And I just think training is super important. I mean, obviously, you know, like when we, you know, why they added mental health as a component to CCW training, which I'm a huge advocate for, and I'm glad they did that. Because like I said, not everybody should have a gun. Certainly not everybody should have a CCW by all means. So, adding that component of, are you mentally healthy enough for gun ownership, for having a CCW? And then if you're ever involved in a self-defense shooting, that's going to do a number on you too, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, financially, and every other way. How do you have help there too? So
yeah, I think what we go to, we were talking about this earlier, and it was kind of legal and ethical considerations, and I think that's what we're talking about here. And you know, it's kind of sad to me, the more we talk about it, the more I think about, like, it's not really considered. It's considered on two sides, but there's nobody in the middle saying this is what is reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, so that's unfortunate, but I think there is a big discussion. I think there are definitely people you can reach out to.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and it is, I think it's because the in the middle, but just because there's so many unknowns.
Right. Exactly. Well, we'll be right back with the last segment here. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir, just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peakpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag, just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company, serving the Central Coast for over 50 years with all your garage door needs, residential or commercial. Hammond has the right door system for any application. As a local, family-owned company, Hammond Overhead Door Company is committed to providing the superior products you want and the personal service you deserve. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove and Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove and Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We're overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove and Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curbrail and Moore Roads.
And we're back. Again, Karen will be back. I have a feeling there'll be some good stories out on Calco's News, so I'd be checking out her website. And seeing what's new in the county. But to rejoin this conversation, I think we're covering a lot of stuff, and I still feel like we're barely scratching the surface. But one thing, you kind of wrote some stuff, and we were talking about, et cetera, but one thing that hit me that we should probably be moving on to, because it goes to what we were just talking about, is evidence-based policy addressing these issues. And unfortunately, you don't see that. You see reactionary policies. How do we get to there? What, you know, I feel like we were just talking about the stigma between you know, people that want guns taken away and people that want to protect their Second Amendment rights. How do we get to this point, especially in a place like California? I can understand federally and a lot of other states how they can get there, but who do we listen to here? I mean, who's going to be the common sense person?
That's a very good question. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I do believe gun control advocates like to twist stats and manipulate things, and they like to say, oh, guns are the number one killer of children, and they run with that, which, you know, if you look on the CDC, there's other, I think they said that car accidents or accidents, like car accidents falling into a pool, things like that.
Right.
So, and illnesses. So, but they do like to take these stats and run with them and make them almost like an empirical fact and twist it. So it's tough because that's, you know, technically the left. On the right, we're saying, no, you know, guns are a safety device. And, you know, I say, and I know most other gun advocates say, like, look, if teachers, for example, were trained to use guns and guns properly in a mass shooting situation, and they were not only trained but practiced, that would probably lower the mass shootings that we have in schools.
Right.
If, you know, open carry, and this is things that, you know, a study with criminals, they've said, if I knew my victim was armed, I probably wouldn't have attacked them. So, and especially if I knew they were armed with a gun and knew how to use it. Mm-hmm. So, and this isn't like database evidence. It is more just, but it's more like common sense evidence, I suppose. What criminal is going to attack you if they know you're armed?
Right. Probably. And I think that goes back to New York years ago, because you used to be able to fly in with a firearm, and then people, when that was outlawed years ago, I think that was the 80s, I could be wrong in my time frame here, but you know what, people started getting mugged outside the airport in New York, and then people started selling NRA hats outside the airport.
Yeah.
And crime went dead. There was this weird little spot. So it kind of goes to what you're saying, when people thought people were armed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if they have the perception of somebody that is, and this is like what I teach in my women's self-defense, like just situational awareness. If you carry yourself with confidence, and like, even if I'm not armed, I walk like I am.
Right. Yeah. So, and some of it is purely posturing too.
Yeah.
When you see
really
somebody
is.
With good posture and they're walking
with confidence, and they're looking around and they're aware, they're less likely to be a victim. And that has been proven over and over. But yeah, I mean, to make laws based on actual research and not, you know, just overly like emotions. Because, yeah, I get it. When there is a mass shooting, emotions are tremendously, as they should be. It's a very traumatic, horrific thing to happen.
Well, I was on here yesterday, and I think it's the same. So my investment theory is every reaction is an overreaction, good or bad. And that's how I play the stock market, because I'm a short player. I like to get in and out. But it's true. And I think it's the same with when you look at gun violence, et cetera. If you look at the people trying, it's just, okay, there was a shooting, take away guns.
Right.
It's always an overreaction. It's not, how do we fix this, or how do we fix, you know, most of these shootings, like you alluded to at the beginning, are due to a mental deficiency some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not normal.
Right. to go into a school and think you want to blow away a bunch of 12-year-olds, that's
if it's
not
one of their students. That's
probably the definition of insanity. I mean, you know, at least one of them. And I think this person's been trying to call, so let's see if we can get them. Good afternoon. You're on Sound Off. How'd you like to join the conversation?
Oh, I can hear him, but.
Yeah, I can hear.
Hello.
Okay, how are you doing? What question or comment do you have?
I had a quick question. I want to think about selling a firearm that's registered in my name to a private party. How do I go about doing that?
I would suggest going to meeting that private party at an FFL, so like Roosters, Uncle Ed's, Bridges and Paso Robles, First Defense down in Los Osos, depending upon where you're located. So meet them there, and they will have to fill out the paperwork. The person that you are selling it to will have to wait for 10 days. So it's similar to when you buy a gun straight from the gun shop. So there will be that 10-day waiting period. So, and just bring whatever ID and proof that, like, if you have your DROS, your dealer record of sale. So bring all you have on the gun, but yeah, you'll have to do it through an FFL, and those places that I recommended can help you with that.
And then they charge you for that service, I guess?
Yeah, there is a fee. I don't know how much they charge, so you would have to...
I don't think it's that much, because I did it not that long ago, and it wasn't that much. But the bottom line is you do have to do it. Yeah. It is an illegal sale, right. And you could both get in trouble if you don't go through the steps.
Yeah, so I say, like I said, Roosters in Templeton, Uncle Ed's in Atascadero, Bridges in Paso, or if you're South County... First Defense in Los Osos. So all of those could help you with that.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And I think I don't want to change subjects, but I have seen that where the little old lady, her husband dies. I don't want these guns. And I was here, this is years ago, but this lady had a great range of rifles in her garage sale. And I was like, you can't do that. But people don't know.
Yeah.
And I think it goes even with mental health. People don't know. It's ignored until tragedy happens. Yeah. And, we are going to wind down a little bit. We still got a decent amount of time. Oh, let's grab a call. See, I have a great co-host here. She's telling me. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sound Off.
Hey, I had a couple questions for you guys. My dad passed away years ago, and I've been shooting since I was about 6. And in the 60s, he bought pistols and stuff like that. Did they register those pistols back then like they do now?
I can't tell you what they did then, so you would have to check the serial numbers with the DOJ. But if it was your dad's, then you can put them in your name with an interfamiliar transfer. So what that does, it's vertical, so it can go from grandparent, parent to child, grandchild. Since they were your dad's, but again, I would say go to, I don't know if you heard the last question, but go to one of the FFLs I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I did hear. Yeah.
And talk to them, and if they are registered, great, but if you have them in your possession, I definitely recommend getting them registered.
So, is there a law now you can't hand it down to your children without doing all these legal processes, or... I'm 72 years old now, and my dad gave me guns when I was 12, and I just don't know if I could still do that with my grandchildren and stuff like that.
Yeah, you can pass them down, but they would have to register it in their name with the DOJ. So I always say, stick to the right side of the law, because as Eric just said, if one little thing could happen, if it's not registered to them and they use it and there's an accident, then it could be a much bigger problem than it needed to be. But yeah, you can pass them down, but they would just have to have them registered in their name.
And then I heard say if you're out hunting with your friend or something, and he just bought a new rifle, and he goes, here, try it out, and the fish and game pulls you over right at that moment, they can confiscate that rifle. Am I correct in that, or?
I don't know about that. If you guys are shooting together, because I've been at the range down at Slosa, and I got a gun that's hard for people to get. And a guy came and was like, "Hey, do you mind if I shoot that?" And it was right there at the range in front of the RSOs. So I don't know what Fish and Game would do in that instance. So that would be a kind of a question for them.
Yeah, I heard a rumor of that years ago, and I was like, that's preposterous, I thought.
Yeah.
Right.
That is kind of preposterous.
We used to exchange shotguns all the time when somebody got a new one or something,
But one thing for sure is you can't loan them out. It has to be, you cannot say, correct, Eric, here, take my shotgun, and I go hunting with it, and you're at home.
Yeah.
It has to be in your custody, to speak, yes.
Yeah, so if you guys are hunting together, walking next to each other, and you're like, try this. I'm not going to say I'm not a lawyer, I'm not with the Fish and Game, but it probably wouldn't be a problem as opposed to what Eric just said. If you're like, hey, buddy, can I borrow your gun and go out of state and go hunting? That's not a good idea.
Yeah, right. No, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. I just thought that'd be ridiculous.
Well, thanks for calling in. We have to wrap things up, but Kelly, I appreciate the conversation. We might have to do it again because this is like I said, I think we barely scratched the surface. Yeah. We do have a few seconds if you want to throw something in.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be back to teaching firearms on October 18th on Saturday. So just to give myself some time, I am also coming out with some online stuff. So because there's some really basics that you can learn on firearms without having to go to the range. So look out for that stuff.
Perfect. So. Perfect. Well, thanks for coming in. And man, I guess get it out
this
there.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply. Serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.